Praise God. Appreciate so much the Lord's victory that was won at the cross. That's the only reason we can stand here and have any hope this morning. Well, I'll just try to share thoughts that I have had and just trust that God will breathe life into them and just help us this morning. Help me. Anybody here need strength and help this morning? Yeah, we all do. The Lord has arranged it that way, where we just don't have what we need in ourselves, but we have everything we need in Him. So I praise God. You know, last week we talked about destiny, and we sort of went over what the Bible teaches about the destiny of the world, the destiny of the lost people of the world, the destiny of God's people. And one point we made was the simple fact that God has history already written. I mean, you think about destiny, it has to do with a destination, but it has to do with how you get there. And we've got a God who is over all, who absolutely has an end in mind and is in charge of the process to get us there. Thank God we can put our hope in Him this morning. But, you know, I got to thinking about that because you could believe all that. But the thing is, God wants to bring this down to the level of where we live every single day. What good is truth about the general picture of where the world is going and all of that if we don't relate it to our daily lives and how we get there? And, you know, I thought about a simple thing, simple question to ask. How many of you, understanding that God writes the big picture and history has already written, understands that God has already written the story of your life? You know, we talked about the book of truth that the Lord revealed to Daniel, but how many of you know there's a page, or however many pages are necessary, in that book with your name on them? That God has planned all about you. He knows you. If He knows all how many hairs are on your head, I guess He knows the rest. And so God has a plan for our lives. And the reality is, we didn't choose when to be born. We didn't choose the circumstances of those things, but God has us here for a reason. And we were born into the world at a particular time, and we know how God has revealed to us the reality of where our world is headed and how it's going to end. It's not going to end well for the world, and God is allowing Satan to pursue his purpose, to deceive those who want to be deceived, who want to rebel. And we're going to see the greatest crescendo, if you will, or the greatest depth of darkness that this world will ever have seen. And it's unfolding before us every single day. And yet this is the time in history when God has called upon us to live. And our lives fit into that picture. And He wants us to know and to be able to move forward with a confidence in Him that yes, He is in control, and we're going to be able to fill our particular place in His plan. I want that for me. I don't want to just muddle along and believe the right stuff with my head and it not really translate into what happens in my life. So I believe with all my heart God wants us to understand that. And you know, I was thinking of Esther, you know. This is the time of year when we read through Esther, if you're reading the chronological Bible this past week. And Esther was born into an unusual time in history when the people of God had been first carried off to Babylon, then they were conquered by the Medes and the Persians, and the Jews got scattered through their empire. But God had something that He was working out. Esther didn't know anything about it. All she did was go through step by step and try to do the right thing and trust God. And God arranged for her to be queen. And there came, and I won't go through the story, which most of you know, but there came a time of desperate need. And you remember what her uncle Mordecai told her when she was questioning, what can I do about it? Who am I? And he says, who knows, but you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I believe that's true of us. We may not have that exalted place. We may not do something that in the span or the scope of history is that great or something, where they're going to write a book about you because your name is so great. That's not what it's about. But God has a particular place. There's a reason you're alive now that I am. And he is looking to accomplish something not only in us but through us in this hour. And I pray that God will lead us to that and will enable us in every way that is necessary. Well, we know that when Jesus came in the flesh, began his ministry, one of the first things he did was to call disciples. There were those who followed him, and then led by God, he picked 12 of them to be his disciples in a special sense, and he trained them. He spent time with them. And then he actually commissioned them at several points, I think, but at least one point, where he sent them out with the message, the kingdom is here, and to heal the sick and so forth, all of those things that he put in their hands to do, and they did it. But and you remember some of the things that he told them. You know, it's awful easy to think about, oh, the world is going to get darker and darker, but how is that going to affect me? Well, the Lord told them how standing up for him in a dark world was going to affect them. Said, men will persecute you. It mentions, at least in one place, they'll kill you. They'll put you in prison. They'll bring you before councils. If they do, don't worry, I'll give you what to say when the time comes. I'm glad for that. God's right with us in every situation. But you will be hated by all nations for my sake. But he that endures to the end, the same will be saved. I'll tell you, that's what God is preparing us for. Whatever our place in all of God's scheme is, God is preparing a people. And I believe with all my heart, I'm talking to some of those people. And I believe God is wanting to awaken us. I thought about Matthew 24. I don't want to get into a lot of this. You remember this was right before, not long before Jesus was crucified. And the disciples were calling Jesus' attention to the amazing building of the temple. And, oh, look at this structure and look at how this is built. And isn't this amazing? And, of course, Jesus took the opportunity to say, everything you see here is going to be torn down. There will not even be one stone left upon another. Now, how did he know that? He'd read the book, hadn't he? God revealed that what was happening, what was going to happen. They were living in a time when the last of Israel's history was happening. And it was just a generation or so away when Rome was going to come in and absolutely destroy the place and literally fulfill the words of Jesus. They were called to serve God in a time of amazing darkness and rebellion and rejection of God's word. And yet God had a people that he was rescuing out of that situation. That's what he's doing today. God still has a people he's reaching in the midst of this darkness. I want to be one of the people that's absolutely in harmony with what he's doing. I certainly don't have what it takes to do that, but that's not the point. So anyway, they ask him about it, and they ask him several questions. You know, when will this happen? The destruction of the temple, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the rest of the end of the age? So there's several questions he addresses, and they're all kind of mixed up. But the part I want to get to is what he says first. Of course, he says, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah, or I am God's anointed. I'm somebody special that God has sent, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Does the daily news alarm you? There's plenty to be alarmed about, but you know, these things are, this is part of life in this world. And he says, see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. Okay? Then he wants to give them something, a little bit of an insight into what their life is going to look like. I wonder if he came here and pointed you out and said, this is what your future is going to look like. It'd be sobering, wouldn't it? Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. Whoa, praise God. I want to be part of that. But that's the reality, folks, of what it means to serve God in a broken world and not live for this world but the one to come, because it's that real to us. Thank God. All right? And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So he gives a very broad picture there, but he also, you notice how he focuses on their destiny as servants, his servants in the first century? Praise God. Like I say, suppose he came here and gave us that kind of a picture. I mean, we are so accustomed to living in luxury and ease. Our way of life here is just not like much of history. It's not like it is in most of the world. Our brothers and sisters are suffering today. And I don't know what the history is, what going forward is going to look like, but I know this. God is preparing us. Notice how many times in all that he says about the end times, he uses the expression, be ready. Well, how in the world can we be ready without getting ready? You know, we think about, oh, well, I know that's coming, and when the time comes, I'm good. That would be a lot like somebody who wants to be a great athlete, but doesn't really want to put in the time and the effort. I'm good. I know how running works. I'm just going to step up there, and it doesn't work very well, does it? Praise God. I remember one time I was not a distance runner at all, to say the least. In fact, I didn't even do any competitive running in high school. But one day I had practiced running. I think it was the half mile. I had messed around at home, and boy, I was good to go. So I asked the coach if I could jump in there and run that. I got around halfway around the track, and everybody else was... You don't just do it because, hey, I want to do that. I can do that. It's not just some mental thing. There's preparation that's needed. If we're going to be some of these people that he can use in this kind of an hour, and will have what it takes on the inside to prevail and to stand and to endure whatever comes. You know, what if they suddenly put a gun to your head or said, if you're going to serve God, you're going to be dead. I mean, that happens. That happens probably daily on the global scale. I tell you, we're going to need something on the inside that's real. Praise God. And you could read that and say, he that endures to the end will be saved, and that could sound, the devil could turn that around and make it sound scary, like, oh my God, I've got to come up with something. I've got to come up with some sort of strength that gets me through all that stuff. What if this happens? What if that happens? Oh my God. But you know, John kind of was one of the ones listening to this. And he wrote some wonderful, encouraging words, didn't he, about what it is that overcomes the world? Is faith. Oh, okay, so I got to come up with faith then. Is that where faith comes from? Remember how many times we've talked about how faith is that supernatural ability that God plants in a willing heart. When we literally hand our lives over to him, he implants this thing called faith. And it's a confidence in God. It's a recognizing the reality that he is in control, that he is worth serving. All the things that involved in our having an anchor in our soul, praise God. It all comes from him. But faith is something that needs to grow. It doesn't just sort of magically happen, does it? God has got to do things in our lives. If we're going to be ready when some of these things happen, we're going to have to be getting ready in the meantime. Okay? And so we're going to need the Lord to work in us every single day to get us ready. Praise the Lord. Anybody? I mean, here's the thing that just seemed to jump out at me this week. How many of us come here, we enjoy being with people that we know, we hear the word and we rejoice and we go out and we feel good and we believe the stuff that we've heard, and then we just sort of put it on the shelf And we go through our daily lives, and it just doesn't really translate into daily living. See, faith that's just, well, faith without works is what? It's dead, isn't it? If what we hear in here and what we claim to profess and believe in here is not somehow lived out, what good is it? It's not. It's not worth anything. You know, I noticed that there's two words that are very closely related in Greek. One of them is faith. And there's another word that has one letter difference in Greek, and it's translated most of the time in our Bibles as faithfulness. What's the difference between faith and faithfulness? Faith is the inner conviction about something, that this is true and so forth. Faithfulness is living that out. There's a fullness to that. There's something that is real. If I believe God is in charge, then there's going to be something in me, if I am living that out, that when I get in a difficult, scary situation, I'm going to remember, hey, God is faithful. In fact, isn't that wonderful that he uses that word of him? Great is thy faithfulness. Think about the exercise of faith that it took for Jeremiah to write the book of Lamentations, lamenting all the terrible things that had happened to Jerusalem and to the Jews, and the terrible destruction of Babylon. Oh my God, we've sinned against you, we've been judged, you're right in all you've done, but oh, the terrible condition of things in the middle of it, but great is thy faithfulness. Thy mercies, your mercies are new every morning. I'll tell you, there's something that can enable in a spirit that's in someone who really has the faith, and they've learned how to exercise it, that even in the darkest hour, we can worship God. We can know that he's in charge. We can trust him with all the situations that come up and know that he is faithful. Thank God. You know, I've thought about a whole bunch of different titles. I guess Faithful to the End is as good a one as any. But we sing that wonderful song, Faithful to the End. God will be faithful to the end. Praise God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that even if some of these circumstances that Jesus warned his disciples about literally applied to you and to me, would we still trust God? Would we still be thankful and praise him? Now, how many of you think that you could just go along and just kind of casually go through your day-to-day living and not really get all that serious, and then all of a sudden everything fell apart, and then all of a sudden you were in that situation, that you'd be ready? You think maybe that God has a reason why he's ordering things in our lives? God knows what it takes. And the same God, like I say, that has a book of truth that outlines history before it happens, he knows my history. He knows my place. He knows your place. It's not a matter of whether it's a big place or an important place in our estimation. The fact that we even have a place in the kingdom of God is amazing. Thank God that he would include us. The more you look in the mirror and see what you're made out of, the more amazing it is that God would come in. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Praise God. Now, maybe you don't think you're a wretch, but you don't see the truth about yourself if you don't. Now, that doesn't mean we have to wallow in that. But the reality is that we have been saved by amazing, amazing grace. Thank God for all that he has done. But I know with all of my heart that God is looking to translate all that he has done for us at the cross, all that Jesus suffered on our behalf. He wants that to be translated into changes in our hearts and our lives so that we grow up in him and that we are able to fulfill the functions that he has laid before us. Praise God. Do you think the things that happen in your life are just random? That God just doesn't really order your steps? That if somebody says something mean to you that pushes your button, that, oh, that just happened. Or do you think maybe the Lord put it in somebody's heart or allowed someone to do that because he knows there's a need in you? And he wants you and me to learn how to grow and how to react in a more Christ-like way? How do we grow unless we have to deal with real life? I tell you, that part of the burden of my heart, and I guess the older I get and the further along I go, the more of a burden it is that God would do something amazing in the younger generations. All the younger generations, I think, especially the young people. I don't know how many of you realize, and it just really dawns on you how loved you are. What God has called you to do and to be in this hour. Things that you could never possibly be in your own strength. That you would never choose the road that he's laid out before you. But yet there's a God who loves you, who has this destiny in mind for you, but he has a reason. You're here. You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And there's a place he has designed for you. And the things that you just react to and just kind of blow through and just, you know, it's fun, this, that, and the other thing, and without really listening and taking hold of the things that he's teaching you and say, oh, wait, this is connected with that? You mean I'm not supposed to get mad? I'm not supposed to be upset? I'm supposed to learn how to handle this in a different spirit? No, it's getting real quiet. Oh, me. We all understand that, don't we? And here the Lord is putting us through our paces and giving us exercise, and we can just go through it mindlessly and not realize that God knows my path. He's written my history. He knows what I'm going to be facing down the road, and he's working faithfully to get me ready. And I'm just blowing it. I'm not paying any attention, and I need to wake up and realize how much he loves me and what he's doing for me. I want to do that more, don't you? And I long to see, I know the Lord longs to see a younger generation that just gets this. You do not need hand-me-down religion. You need a personal knowledge of a living God and his Son, Jesus Christ. You need a relationship where you will go to him. You will recognize that every moment of your life is something lived under his mighty, loving hand. And he wants to teach you every single day to look to him. You're going to run into, every day you're going to run into stuff where you can't do it. You aren't this. You can't do that. Welcome to the human race. I'm exactly the same way. I get up in the morning and I've got my own things to deal with. Every one of us does. But God is the one who is ordering our steps. And what he's looking for is faith that is translated into daily life. Faith in action. You know, you think about, I talked about an athlete who doesn't bother to prepare, but just thinks because they know how something works, they can just step up and do it. But, you know, the world is full of preparation that's necessary. Education. How could you suddenly step in and be a scientist if you didn't, you know, work at it and prepare yourself? How, you know, if they couldn't just hire you to be a soldier or recruit you to be a soldier and hand you a gun and say, go fight. There's a whole lot that goes into that, to get ready for that, to have the knowledge, to have the practice, to know how to do this and how to do that. God is training you right now for the things that are going to come, the things that you will face in this world. Some of the stuff you don't want to go through. You don't like it. God has ordered it because he loves you enough to put you in places that will challenge you and get you ready because he knows what's coming. God is going to have a people who will stand in earth's darkest hour, and they will not give up. You think about what standing, what enduring to the end means. It means no matter what the devil throws at you, I am not giving up. I'm putting my faith is in him. It is rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. my eyes are not on what I can get out of this world and my welfare here. It's on a kingdom that is yet to come and a Savior that is coming. The same Savior that busted out of that tomb and rose to sit on a throne is coming back, and he's going to gather his own. And I'll tell you, there's a power that he imparts to a willing heart that will carry us through everything. But he wants that to be exercised where we learn. Of course, we've used so many scriptural examples in the past. Think about Joseph and all that he went through. Think about a young man who had this vision of being in a position to help his family and even to rule over them. And how the Lord just allowed circumstances to unfold where it looked like exact opposite was going to happen. And yet God was preparing him by all that he went through. His brothers sold him as a slave. Well, he became a faithful slave. How many of you would do that? How many of you would say, well, I trusted God and look where it got me? You know, trust in God is not conditional on circumstances being the way we think they ought to be. God had a purpose in allowing him to do that. But that wasn't enough, was it? There had to come a day when Joseph was falsely accused and thrown into prison. And so he sat there and had one long pity party for years, didn't he? No, he became so, that faithfulness, that faith in action, that conviction that God was real and he was going to serve God no matter what the circumstances, he was going to be faithful. And that faithfulness was observed, and that he was put in charge of the prisoners, given a place of responsibility. And God was shaping the character. See, life is not just about what we do, what we know, and what we do in an outward sense. It's about the character of the one who does it. You know, even among natural people, we think of some people as dependable. Boy, I don't have to worry about them. If I tell them to do something, I know it's going to be done. I can go on to something else and just leave it in their hands because they're faithful. But God wants all of his children to develop that kind of a character, where we're going to be absolutely dependable. And Joseph was certainly one of those people, and you saw how God brought him to that place where the day came when it was finally time, even though he tried to get out of it early, didn't he? Go argue with my case to the king. No, wasn't time. 2 more years went by. You know, we can read about that in a verse or two. But 2 years is 2 years. And he just went on. And he got up, he went to bed, he got up the next day, and it was the same. And he went to bed, and he got up another day, and there was weeks and months went by, and God, where are you? What's going on? I don't understand. You don't think those questions went through his mind? You don't think the devil was there to whisper? But I'll tell you, faith that God plants in the heart will give us a confidence that no matter what the circumstances, God is writing our story. And our life is in his hands, not ours. And so he just continued to be faithful. And the day came when God had prepared this young man to sit on a throne and to rule. Can you imagine if he just sort of waltzed into Egypt and, hey, I'm here, I'm pretty good, I'm pretty smart, put me in charge. He wouldn't have been ready, would he? And so much of the things that we go through, we just don't connect to any of this. This is just random, minor, little day-to-day stuff. You know, getting behind the turtle on the road, as we've said so many times, or just reacting to somebody or worrying about what they think about us, or so-and-so's done me wrong, or I just don't like this circumstance. Why do I have to do this? That's not important. What's important is the character of the one who can take responsibility and do it with a good spirit and a good attitude. That's what's important. That's why children, for example, are exhorted to obey their parents. does that mean, I mean, are they to obey their parents because their parents are perfect and always get it right? No, you know that. You know better than that. Children are to learn to obey their parents because it's what forms a character. How do we learn how to submit our wills to God if we don't learn in the arena of life to let go and let someone else be in charge? God's the one in charge. I mean, what happens if you grow up rebellious and I'm going to do what I want to do, I don't care? God can't even rule over you. You're going to continue in that kind of a character, and God wants to bring us to a place. Can you trust somebody who died for you? That was a saying my dad had. I can trust somebody who died for me. I know his intentions, his heart towards me is good. I know the thoughts that I have for you, thoughts to prosper you and not to harm you. That doesn't mean we won't go through times of difficulty. In fact, we will, because he's got to conquer this old nature. But oh, if we'll just humble ourselves in his mighty hand, God has a way of bringing us to a place where he can use us. And of course, everybody knows the story of David. And here's a young man who was, I believe he was the youngest son anyway. He was the one that was kind of forgotten almost. He had the job nobody else wanted. You ever feel like that? Why am I the one that has to do that? Well, he was the one that got put in charge of the sheep. And he could easily have gotten out there and just, you know, resented it and had all kinds of bad attitudes about it. And why do I have to do this? It's not important. Look at those other guys. They're doing all that important stuff. God was forming the character of one of the key figures in history. I guarantee he didn't think it was, I mean, you know, in a big picture, taking care of sheep was not a big deal. But the character of the one who faithfully did that, that's a big deal. And I'll guarantee, especially young people, because I was, you know, we were all young once. We all remember. You're going to be asked to do things you don't want to do. You're going to be expected to step up and take responsibility for stuff. What does that matter? Why can't I do it my way? Why can't I? And we go on and on about it. Do you think is that how Jesus handled it, by the way? You think when he was growing up, he handled life that way? I'll guarantee you we need to do the right thing. We need God's help to do it. And that's the thing, whatever God has placed in our pathway to do and to handle situations and responsibilities, God will come down and give grace. He will give us everything we need. He never asks a single thing of any of his children without giving us the ability to do it, if we're willing. God help us. I don't want to have that kind of a stubborn attitude where I'm going to do it my way. I don't like this. Something's wrong. It's their fault. All the things, all the excuses that we make for human nature. I want to be one of these that when the time comes and they put a gun to my head, I've experienced enough of the Lord. I've walked with him long enough. I've humbled myself under his mighty hand that I'll be able to say, praise God, I know where my hope is. All you're doing is giving me a quick one-way ticket to heaven. Go ahead, pull the trigger. Lord, it's up to you. Live or die. I want to have the same kind of a spirit that the three Hebrew children had. I know that God's able to save us, but if he doesn't, I'll tell you one thing, we ain't bowing. Praise God. Do you suppose that just kind of happened? Do you think God had developed their character over time? We don't see the details that lie behind all of those things. So I'll tell you, we need the Lord, don't we? We need a willingness to humble ourselves if we're going to be among these people. Now, I believe with all my heart that many of God's people are going to go by way of the undertaker. That's just a personal feeling. That's not any thus saith the Lord. But I believe a lot of God's people, that's happening right now. When the devil gets a deeper hold on this world, a lot of God's people are going to wind up dying for their faith. Are we going to have the grace to handle that? Do you think that maybe the things that you're going through right now might just be connected with that, or is this just random, unrelated stuff? Is God writing your story? There isn't a single person here who has any other moment to live in than right now. That's it. And so what my job is to look to God, to handle what He throws my way, what He allows in my life, and to look to Him to help me to be like Him in my character, in my response to stuff, and realize that He's doing something in me to get me ready for what's coming. I'm in God's school. And I don't want to just blow it off like it's unrelated. Boy, this world will absolutely just put you to sleep if you let it. It's absolutely out there to put you to sleep. I thought about something that I remembered, an old translation of a familiar scripture that we use all the time in Romans chapter 12. And I looked in a piece of software I have, and I couldn't find it. And I finally looked it up online, and I realized it was the old J.B. Phillips translation. You ever remember that one? Some of you older ones will remember that. It was a paraphrase. You know what a paraphrase is? That's when a translator will go back into the original and understand what was being said and how it would have been understood. Then he rewrites it the way Paul might have written it to a modern audience. Okay, so he's saying the same thing without translating, you know, overly literal. So anyway, this is what Romans 12, 1 and 2 comes across as in the J.B. Phillips version. With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to Him and acceptable by Him. And this was the phrase or the statement that really keeps coming back to my mind. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. That's profound, isn't it? I mean, being conformed to the world means the same thing, but you think about what the devil's design is in modern culture. We've heard a lot of stuff lately from different people, podcasts and other things. We're talking about people needing to be culture-proof, needing to be more aware and alert about the culture and its effect on us. I'll tell you, the devil is extremely gifted at packaging his lies in a way that appeal to our carnal nature. And we can just blow through life taking stuff in, not realizing what the real wisdom behind it is and what its effect is. And without realizing it, we're kind of affected by that, and we're drawn away and made less effective for the Lord. And here's Paul saying, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Do you think maybe it would be a good thing to say, Lord, please help me to discern? Help me to be, when there's something coming that I'm exposed to, whether it's the internet or movies or TV or whatever it is, just the people around me, give me discernment, Lord. I want to hear your voice. I want your take on it, is the way we would put it. I want to see this through your eyes because I want to serve you and I don't want to be sucked in or deceived by the spirit of this world. And Lord, I don't have the ability in myself to handle this. I'm looking to you. Wouldn't that be a good thing to, a good attitude and a good prayer? Because I'll tell you, God will answer that prayer. He will give you a heart that wants to please Him. Because we need to grow in our knowledge, what we know, our wisdom, and our understanding. Understanding is understanding what's going on, but then the wisdom is, okay, now what do I do with it? Oh, we need to grow, don't we? I do. There's so much stuff that happens, and we got a spirit of this age that is absolutely capturing the minds of people. And it's affecting God's people. And I'll tell you, young people, you're growing up in a world that most of us don't know anything about. It's not at all like it was when we were young. But I'll tell you, God can bring you through. God can make you champions of His faith. Ready to stand in this hour, ready to be used of Him for whatever His purposes are. I don't know what that is, but I know He's faithful. So don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all His demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity. Wow. That's some rich stuff, isn't it? Is any of this relevant to us? Do we need this? This isn't just the young people. This is all of us. We can just blunder through our daily routine, our daily lives, and not really connect the things that we believe about where the world's headed with what's happening to me today. And I want to be like David and just be faithful and worship God and just do whatever comes to my hand with a heart that says, God, I want to be faithful. Because faithfulness is a quality that is usually developed doing stuff that we don't think is important. Didn't Jesus talk about that? He talked about who is a faithful servant later on in Matthew 24. Who just faithfully does what the Lord has given to him to do. But also he talks later on about those who are given different amounts of money, talents, and what they do with it. But there's a principle in there. The one who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. And the Lord might just give you the job of doing the dishes and taking out the trash and keeping your room clean. Do I have to? I want to browse my phone. Nobody would ever react like that, I know. Of course, the older ones laugh because we all did it too. We didn't have the phones in those days, not that kind, but that's human nature, folks. God is going to put things in your path that He wants you to take responsibility for that seems like it doesn't matter. Who cares whether this is right or wrong? God is going to develop character in you because He's looking for people that He can put His Spirit upon and say, now there's somebody I can trust. I gave them something so insignificant that a lot of people would just laugh it off and not pay any attention to it, but they were faithful. That's the one that I'm going to put in the position of responsibility because they've proved they're going to be faithful with the little things. I can give them something else and I know they're going to handle it. They're going to look to me. Their character has been formed by their faith. Because that's what faithfulness is. It's character and life that has been informed by our faith. May God translate the things that He has given us to do and to believe into ways that will absolutely get us ready. I don't know if much else necessarily needs to be said, but I feel like this is the burden of the Lord. I know He loves the young people. I know He loves all of us. I don't know what lies ahead. But it's that serious. We have brothers and sisters right now who are languishing in prison, who are being killed. And I'm not going to stand here and say, yeah, I'm ready, bring it on. When those things start happening, we're going to need the Lord. I want to walk with Him now so that I can allow Him to write my story and get me ready so that when that day comes, I'll already know what to do. It won't be, oh God, You warned me about this, but it wasn't happening, so I didn't pay much attention. Now here I am. I want to be one that was faithful in all of the little things along the way. Lord, I want to learn how not to get mad. I want to learn how not to blame other people when You're working on something in here. I want to learn to trust you when I need something and it just there's a need and I don't seem to have it and I need your provision for this. All the things that human nature just seems to cling to and thrive on, God is going to teach us to trust. And he's going to use every experience to train us. Now, one of the things he uses to train us is when we mess up. Now, that's not an excuse to mess up. But think about Peter. How many times have we pointed him out? Here was somebody that was mightily used of God, powerfully used of God. And boy, was Peter ready. Lord, they may all deny you, but I never will. Well, the Lord knew what was behind that, and I'm sure he probably laughed a little bit in one sense, but God knew something had to happen, and the devil was going to try to take him down. Lord, can I tempt Peter? And the Lord said, go ahead. But isn't it wonderful that Jesus prayed for him? Here's Jesus facing the cross. A cross where he just didn't die for everybody. He died for you and you and you and you and me by name. That burden was falling upon him. And he was sitting there not so self-absorbed in all that was happening to him, but he took time to pray for Peter. And what did he pray? That his faith would not fail. Praise God. See, that's the victory that overcomes the world. I need something that comes from heaven if it's going to carry me through those kind of situations. But Peter had to go through that to discover what he was made of. And that serving God and standing fast in all the things that are going to come that the Lord had promised were going to come to him, that wasn't about human strength. That's what Peter was made of. I know I can do it. And the Lord had to show him, you know, you can't. And boy, it was a bitter lesson. And I'm sure he went to sunk into the depths of despair. Lord, surely you're going to throw me in the trash can now. I failed you so utterly. I promised, and look what I did. Oh, God. And Jesus reached down. Tell my disciples and Peter. Make sure he gets included. He knows he's part of it. And then he reaches out to him and says, Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself. You were the one who said, I'm going to go out and do stuff. I girded myself, and I went where I wanted to go. Man, it was in me to do it. He says, but when you're old, you'll stretch forth your hand, and another will gird you and carry you where you don't want to go. That's a pretty good picture of his ministry. And Peter served the Lord and was persecuted and ultimately crucified himself. And he never denied the Lord again, even when he was crucified. Because the Lord had taught him where true strength comes from. And so even in his failure, God was training him to be one of those who endures to the end. Why? Not because I'm strong, but because he is faithful. And because he's faithful to the end, he is enabling me to be one of those that's faithful to the end. God wants everyone here to be faithful to the end. But here's coming back to the central thought is, do you ever relate that general picture to what's happening this afternoon and in the morning, in the middle of the day and tomorrow and the next day and all the little stuff that just seems so unimportant when God is giving every one of us an opportunity to make choices that will strengthen that faithfulness, that will translate stuff that we know we're not supposed to go around and get mad at everybody. I mean, show me in the scripture where we're supposed to do that. Is that Christ in us doing that? But we do it. And you wonder why the Lord sends somebody in your life to push your buttons? As we said many times, it's because you got them. And the Lord is going to train us to be his children. going to train us to be his soldiers, going to train us to be a people that will endure faithfully to the end and be used of him. I want to be somebody where he says, there's somebody, I've put them to the test, I've put their feet to the fire, I've allowed Satan to attack them, I've put them through many kinds of circumstances, and their faith has never failed. They have continued to look to me. Even when they've messed up, they've come to me and looked to me for cleansing and forgiveness because I'm faithful to forgive them. Thank God for his faithfulness. His faithfulness will never fail. But he's taking every one of his children and forming our character so that we will be faithful to the end. I want to be one of those, don't you? May God bring what we hear here to our hearts and to our minds every single day and begin to relate it to the stuff that happens and realize he's writing my story. That didn't happen by accident. That's not just that big bad devil. God sent him. Why would he do that? Because I needed a battle. I needed to make a choice to fight, to trust God, to look to him, to do the right thing, to gain the ability to act and react the way God wants me to be. Praise God. Is God faithful? We know he is. I want to be one that is. And I know that he's going to faithfully bring every one of his children all the way through. I know that I don't have what it takes to do, to stand up under what he's describing in the scriptures. But I know he does. And I know just the way he's, we see the examples of people who have believed God through the scriptures. You read Hebrews 11. We've seen ordinary people who are just like us. And God has put his spirit upon them, worked in their lives, and used them in all kinds of ways. And I don't care if when the time comes, we can people look back and say, wow, there was somebody, there was a real hero. I don't care about my place in all of this. That's not important. I want his place. And I want whatever place he has for me. It's not about me. It's about him. He is worthy. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of people who will serve him like that and trust him in every kind of circumstance? Is he worthy? Yes, he is. And God will be faithful to give us the grace. May we be faithful to take hold of it and use it and become the kind of people he wants us to be. Praise God.
Phil said something that I guess hit home for me when he said it, which was Jesus said, be ready, many times, praise God. Phil said something like, well, we got to be prepared to be ready. And Lord willing, let me expound on that, okay? Phil mentioned the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if we could enter into what it was like to be those three at that time. And I don't know how many people were there, but you know the whole story, this huge statue, the image, if you will, of Nebuchadnezzar, 90 feet tall. There must have been thousands, if not tens of thousands of people standing there ready for the music to play, the announcements given, what needs to happen. And you're standing there, and you love the Lord, and he's issued the command about what to do or what not to do. And the music plays, and everyone goes down. Every single knee bows and worships to that image. And you and two of your friends do not. I mean, for half a mile, you could see the people that are standing, right? And everyone else is bowing to this. Now, you could have, if you wanted to, bowed and said in your heart, I'm not really worshiping. I'm just bowing physically my knee. I'm not worshiping that. I'm worshiping God. But they wouldn't even take it that far. They didn't even have the Spirit of God living inside of them, at least not abiding. Jesus hadn't come yet. And yet, And maybe they had some preparation. I don't know. They did it. How many of us would do that? Now think about Daniel. So the issue, another issue is decreed. You shall not pray to anyone but the king for 30 days. Couldn't Daniel just gone into his home and close the curtains? Been easy, right? Pray to God. No one knows. Just between him and God. Did he do that? Why not? Did he have the Spirit of God inside of him? Not abiding like us. Not abiding like us. Let me, in Revelation 13, in verse 15, it reads, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." That's us. I don't know if it's going to happen during our lifetimes, but that's not the Old Testament. That's in the future. "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." I don't know what you all think, but I'm going to share my personal thought, testimony. Don't you find it strange what happened with COVID the last 3 years? All around the world, pretty much no country was spared the reaction to that virus. And so you had governmental officials around the world. And I'm not going to badmouth anyone, but I'm going to ask you, are they following the Lord or are they following the beast? Are they the image of the beast or are they just men and women? I don't want to go down that path, but they tell you, mask up or else. I tried to go into Hobby Lobby during that time, not masked up. They're a Christian organization, you know. Get out. You can't come here. Well, we got Amazon, we got Walmart, we get it sent at home, right? What if you couldn't? Phil talked about getting prepared. I view the last 3 years as a great preparation for what might happen in the future and in a higher level than what we experienced the last 3 years. Don't social distance or else. What did God say? Don't forsake the fellowship of the saints. That's what our Father said. The government can say what they want. God says something else. Get a shot or else. Lose your job. Maybe worse. I view the last 3 years as a great preparation to get us to think what could possibly happen in the future. And what would be our reaction to it? Phil mentioned Hebrews 11. They love not their life to the death. How much do we love our life? I mean, we're talking about creature comforts the last 3 years. It wasn't our physical life. It sure may be in the future. Well, it will be at some point. We just read it. Praise God. So, I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you. Praise the Lord.